these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. If you want to call in today, please call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And I'm supposed to have the Laundry House gang in here with me today, but none of the gang showed up, so it's just me. And so basically my thought is we'll give them some time for some of them to meander in. And if we don't start seeing a few of them, well, I'll start telling bad things about the San Francisco 49ers. That's Craig Campo's playoff team. And anyway, that way I can bug my good friend. But talking about sports, University of Alaska, Nanooks. Wow. Number one shooting team in the nation. Congratulations. You guys are awesome. It's been a while since you've been there, but you've always been around the top three, top five. And this year, you pushed it over the top. Congratulations. You won by, 10, 12 points out of 4,800 to 4,790. Think about that. Think about the precision. The gentleman who shot a perfect 600. Wow. You just don't see that. Then the same week, the cross-country ski team comes in first in the nation in cross-country. Oh, my goodness. And right now, we're waiting for this weekend, hopefully. It'll happen. But the invitations go out for the Sweet 16 in hockey. And the hockey team at the Nanooks is there, too. So just think about that. A little university here in Fairbanks, Alaska, in a two-week period, takes two national championships and positions itself to be one of the top 20 hockey team, collegiate hockey team in the nation. It has an excellent academic program. It has probably the foremost Arctic sciences in the world, if not the North America continent anyway. A lot of stuff happens up at that university, and I hope everyone appreciates it, enjoys it, takes part in it. Their education outreach program is phenomenal, what they do with classes, lectures, things like that, who they have up there. Their sporting events, their interaction with the city, the borough, is par none. So congratulations. Congratulations to the University of Alaska. You guys are great. Great to be Nanook Nation up here. And may you do more and enjoy the future. So today's supposed to be a political day. So let's look at the Willow Project and the NPRA, National Petroleum Reserve A. It's a National Petroleum Reserve designated as that. And my goodness. All the environmental groups that want to kill oil development in Alaska. Sometimes you shake your head, but, you know, as the gentleman deep throat in all the president's men said, follow the money. It's a fundraising issue for these environmental organizations. It's fundraising. This development up there is not going to hurt the environment, not going to cause global warming. Not going to do any of that. But what it allows the environmentalist organizations to do is use that as a fundraising mechanism for their organizations and entities. It's just what it is. It's all about the money. Follow the money. The original plan was to have five pads with approximately 300 wells, and the Interior Department shut it, you know, cut it down to three pads with 198 wells. Unfortunately, the Biden administration approved that. So congratulations. We got there. Herculean effort by our two U.S. senators. Wonderful. Thank you for them. We got a phone call coming in I'm going to take. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, Dave. It's Charles.
Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm an alumni there at UAF, actually. Anyway, I'm just going to say all the environmentalists are supported by the oil companies, and it has been that way forever until the truth is out. Environmentalist money comes from the oil companies that keep the boom-bust cycle going, man, rolling in the dough.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I see it.
Okay. So what did you take up at the university?
Petroleum engineering.
Wow, you're right there. Okay.
I never got no certificate, never had any reason to use it. I was a truck driver. That got me a truck driver position.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was up Prudhoe Park in 87.
Mm-hmm.
They were just opening up that big camp again. And it had been closed for 6 or 7 years. They built it and never used it for 6 years. It was pickled.
Yeah.
And then they opened it up again, and $9 a barrel. Yay. I get my petroleum engineering, and it's $9.
Yeah, no jobs at $9 a barrel for petroleum engineers.
what do you call a petroleum engineer in Alaska?
What's that?
Waiter.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I was at Kaparik in 1982. Working with a pipe fitting crew, and we're tying in the wells to bringing it over to the Trans-Alaska pipeline. That was neat. That was a neat project working on that. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's an example of a boom bust cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn how to live within a depression, not in the good times. Everybody knows how to learn in good times, right?
Spend like crazy. Yeah. Don't save it all.
But we don't know how to live the other way when it always goes back. Because I always tell people, well, look, the price of oil goes up, price of oil comes down.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. You know, in 70, what was it, 76, 78, they voted in the permanent fund. Not the dividend, but they voted in the permanent fund. And they were looking at that. They're saying, you know, we're going to come into a time where we've never had this much money, so let's save some of it. Let's save some of it. And they did, and that's helping pay for state government right now. But also at the same time, you know, I like what, like, Dick Randolph did. He was in the legislature. And he said, hold it. Why are we doing the savings account and putting an income tax on the people at the same time? Let's remove the income tax.
He's the only one that told the truth.
Yeah.
That's the only legislature in history of Alaska that ever told the truth.
Well, he was able to get the income tax repealed because
he got stung by Robert Ringer on his governor campaign. Robert Ringer from the United States.
I don't know who Robert was.
The ballot measure stuff, eliminating the Alaska Transportation Commission, that was all part of the ballot proposition. And same thing with the, you know, that was part of the beginning of ranked choice, where I see it.
Hmm, okay.
Ballot propositions are dangerous, right?
Tell California that. Right, every year they have about 30 propositions on the ballot. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's just incredible. Just incredible.
Well, I wish for peace on earth, Willow or whatever. It's all environmentalist money coming from the oil companies that promote the differences.
There you go.
Thanks.
Charles, you have a great day. Good talking to you again, sir. You have a great day. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you want to call in, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, my name is Mike Simard from Simard Automotive, and I've got news. I have gas. I would like to announce the opening of our second location, 333 Illinois, formerly Alaska Chevron, as well as our new location on South Cushman. Four convenient locations, including Alaska's only full-service gas station on Gaffney Road. Schedule an appointment today at any one of our four locations and get gas relief. You can earn $25 to $100 of free gas. Go to our website for details, SimardAutomotive.com.
The Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center has big news. It's that time when all the major hearing aid manufacturers release new products. Dr. Marianne McElwain and her team are excited to already dispense the latest products from Starkey, Phonak, and ReSound, but they're even prouder to offer best practices to fit your hearing aids using systems like Real Ear to better fit your hearing aids to your specific hearing loss. They even offer lower-cost hearing devices fitted by a licensed audiologist with a warranty and service plan. It's time to hear better and feel better. It's all at the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Drive with confidence through Alaska's tough year-round driving conditions. Snow and ice, water and gravel, on or off-road. Choose the tire that's as tough as Alaska. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. For your light truck, SUV, and CUV, ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3. AT Revo 3 delivers a dominating off-road performance and a quietly civilized ride on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Wings on Wednesdays for just $1.50 each. That's every Wednesday at Big Daddy's. Wings the way you like them. Slow smoked and delicious with great choice of styles, including original buffalo and sweet honey barbecue, to name just a few. Come by Wednesday for wings at Big Daddy's and load your plate up with some of those sides that speak Southern, like collard greens, red beans and rice, and so many other choices. It's the award-winning northernmost Southern barbecue. Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, lows around 13 below. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, high of 4 above. Single digits above zero Thursday, low teens Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. If you have a thought and you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And again, the Willow Project, it's on. It's going to happen. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Ron, David. And, just a thought or a comment, I suppose.
Certainly.
Some years ago, I had and I'll put it in quotes, opportunity to fly back and forth between Fairbanks and what was then Barrow, and I would encourage the environmentalist types to take that flight and look out the window of the airplane and tell me exactly what it is going to be disturbed.
Touche, good one.
Now
hold it. You know, the first half hour or the last half hour of that flight, have them tell you what's going to be disturbed.
It would be about mid-flight going north onward, because there's absolutely nothing out there but a few mosquitoes.
Yeah, you're
potholes and tundra.
Now, here's the thing about resource development in Alaska. No one does it better in a sound, safe, environmentally friendly manner. No one does it better. No country, no other state. We have separate regulations just for Alaska through the EPA, the DEC, everyone.
Well, I think the pipeline attests to that pretty well, because I think the only major spill in the pipeline's history was caused by a drunk with a 338 Winchester.
Yeah, and a boat captain.
Well, That's not pipeline per se.
I know, but anyway.
Okay, you have a great day, sir.
Thanks, Ron. You have a great day, too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, goodness. Let's not go shoot the pipeline. Not at all. But think of the economics. Right now, you're on a precipice of witnessing another oil boom, if you look at it. They say between 2,000 and 2,300 jobs will be created to develop that oil field. It'll happen over a 3 to 6 year period, right in there. And Fairbanks will be the transportation hub up to it, right here. And ponder that. You know, think of the warehouses that will need to be constructed, the trucking outfits, the residual jobs that happen because of that, the increase in school population. There is a, you know, it's called, you know, for whatever reason, they call it trickle down, but think of the downward cycle, the downward actions of the economics of what's going on up there and how it affects Fairbanks here. And it's going to be good. You're going to get, you know, a lot of people complain about the newcomers coming in. And when I was in high school during the pipeline, as Texans and Okies. And, hey, they added flavor to Fairbanks and to Alaska. And many of them, wonderful people, stayed. And so that's what you want. You want some permanence. You want some growth. And, you know, it's not going to be putting money into our budget, per se, but it will be putting money into the North Slope Village Corporations, things like that, helping them have a better life. It will be putting more oil into the pipeline, another 150 to 225,000 barrels a day. So it's going to increase it by one-third, almost. And that's what you want to see. Maybe that helps get other smaller fields developed and into the pipeline. But this was the big one. This was the big one. Thank you, Senator Murkowski. Thank you, Senator Sullivan. You've been working on this for years. You two had the weight with this president to bear down on him and the administration. And boy, it would have been all out war if it would have been any different. Think about that. Think about that. So congratulations to them. And Fairbanks, get ready. This is your day of demarcation. What's going to be coming in the future and how it will affect us. It's going to be something else. It will be something else. It'll be good. So anyway, then you look at the state of Alaska. It's been pretty quiet down there in Juneau. Everyone's getting along, which is good to see. No disruptions. They're getting into the committee right now, the different committees and how they're doing. They should be starting to work on a budget here. It should be interesting. You know, you have so much revenue that comes in, and how do you allocate the expenses? Does it all go to the what people call the statutory permanent fund? No, it's not. Would people like it to? Some people would. Some people would not. Okay. But that argument got settled in November when the Constitutional Convention on the ballot happened. And it was resoundingly, and the Constitutional Convention was all about, was basically most of it, putting the dividend into the Constitution. And it was a 70-30 against doing a constitutional convention. So the people who are, the reason why I bring that up is the people who are down there, the elected officials, they know that. They understand that. And so they're looking at education, increasing the base student allowance, the BSA. So look for that. You know, who knows what the number will be. You never know. Things like that. You know, you only have so many dollars, and you have to do what you think is best. I'm sure we're going to get a dividend. Who knows what it'll be? Even in the worst of times, we got a dividend. And this is not as bad as it has been. It's not as good as it was last year. Price of oil, all depends on that. Price of oil and how much they put through the line. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning, Dave. It's Lee.
Hello, Lee.
I hear you talking about the folks down in Juneau representing our interest and trying to get increases to the BSA. And you made reference to the resounding defeat of putting the PFD or an allocation thereof inside of the state constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's specific reasons behind that. You kind of left out the fact that all the major unions that are on the milk teat to receive those funds were basically paying every lobbyist that they could so that we could have a one-sided argument put before the voters, because that's exactly what happened.
Hmm.
And it's kind of something that's left out of the equation when we're talking about that. So
yeah, I agree with you, but the side that wanted, one side said, it was resoundingly, we want to put this in the Constitution. I voted against the Constitutional Convention. It had nothing to do with the dividend. Once you open, you have that Constitutional Convention, everything is open, not just a dividend, everything. And like you said, you know, all the lobbyists and money, you know, what they would come and do to our Constitution, I just did not trust it. I did not trust opening it up to the outside influences, such as the commercial fishermen out of Seattle that just do incredible or harmful things, you know, in overtake and overreach. So I just didn't want to do that. So that was my reason for voting against it. It had nothing to do with the dividend.
Oh, I'm with you. Press assured that's one of the reasons that our so-called career politicians need to take a long deserved vacation, as in a permanent one, because they're the problem, and we've allowed our lobbyists essentially to start taking control of our legislature, and that much is obvious.
Yeah.
But I actually called you to congratulate you on the talking up of this new field.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that our delegation to D.C. was able to pull off what was essentially seen as a coup d'etat. But one of the things that caught my attention with that little success is the fact that the Biden administration has put caveats with regard to their approval that are going to remain secret. And I'm a little concerned that,
you've
got approval, but here's what you didn't hear. So I'm looking forward to our delegation getting that released as soon as practical, because, of course, nobody's talked that up yet.
There you go. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Sure. You enjoying your march so far? Yeah. Oh, well. I was going to ask him if he's enjoying March. You know, it get 16 below last night, and it's about 10 below right now, and hopefully by the end of the week, it's about 20, 25 above. So March can be 25 below or 25 above or 35 above or 35 below. It's a great month and enjoying it. Now, here's something for you. Have you ever wanted to learn how to cook a taco? Because this month on my show, Fairbanks Foodies, it's taco month. You can go back to KFAR audio archives, KFARradio.com, go there. And I've had two people come in and say how they make their tacos. And one is a traditional, her family, her mom was born and raised in Mexico and how she does it. Then another lady, how she makes these incredible shrimp tacos and chicken tacos. And I also, of course, I have to go and review all the places that serve tacos. You know, far be it from me not to take such an adventure during such an extraordinary month as Taco Month on Fairbanks Foodies. So, hey, just the way it is. And Fairbanks, we are going to come back after some bumper music, which is Guns N' Roses. We got some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
An Air Force drone flying over international waters was forced down after being struck by one of several Russian fighter jets over the Black Sea.
They dive-bombed, if you will. The drone crushed dangerously in front of it, even dumped fuel on the drone at one point, and ultimately, according to U.S. sources now, collided with the drone, striking the propeller of the drone, forcing it to ditch into the Black Sea.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Kyiv, Ukraine. The White House says President Biden has been briefed on the incident. The latest inflation reading shows some improvement, with prices rising at a slower pace.
The consumer price index rose 0.4%, up 6% for the year ending in February. It's a sign of slow improvement in inflation. The CPI rose at a 9% pace in June.
Fox's Ginny Cassola. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Eielson Air Force Base can expect to keep growing over the next 5 years as it cements itself as a key part of national defense because of its geographical location. Growth means more personnel and their families, something the military installation seeks community help to address, said Colonel Antonio Alvarado, commander of the 354th Mission Support Group. Four KC-135 Stratotanker planes are expected to be assigned to Eielson over the next few years, joining the eight already assigned to the Alaska Air National Guard's 168th Air Refueling Wing. Over a 3 to 4 year period, Alvarado said the growth will include 350 additional personnel and 500 family members. "We are definitely going to be growing and adding more to the community," Alvarado said. "It's definitely a function of we're going to need more power and more housing. We're going to need some help in the future," Alvarado said in an update at last week's Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Board of Education meeting. Alvarado said it will need help going forward from the community.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Denali, Denali, industrial supply. Denali, fasteners and much, much more. The tools and supplies to help build Alaska. Along with the experts, when you need to ask a professional who knows what's going to work for you. We've got the experience to see it through. Denali, Denali, industrial supply.
Your snow shovel get buried in the last blizzard? Century Hardware has the wintertime tools you need right now. You need ice chippers? Century has ice chippers. You need lock de-icer? They have lock de-icer. Snow rakes? Arctic Grade extension cords? Yep. And of course, snow shovels. Lots of them. Weekend warriors of winter don't just fight the snow and ice. Conquer it with some help from Century Hardware. Get your gear in here. Ralph does, so should you. Century Hardware, what you need right now.
Ivory Jack's is going to the dogs by supporting our local dog mushers from Onak to the Yukon Quest and every race in between. They all start and end with an awesome meal at Ivory Jack's. Prime rib dinners to amazing breakfast, live entertainment, and great times. Whether you run a team of 15 dogs, 8 dogs, or just one dog, you're always welcome at Ivory Jack's. Just pull up on your sled and come on in, because the parking's always free. At Ivory Jack's in the heart of the Gold Stream Valley, where mushers go for a great time. Proud sponsor of the Open North American.
Looking for an Alaskan adventure, or just looking to get away from it all? Make a reservation for Manly Hot Springs Resort. Spend your days and nights relaxing in the private, odorless, all-natural hot springs spa house. Explore the quaint town of Manly. Then sit around the fire pit on a clear night under the northern lights and finish your day cozying up in their boutique-style cabins. A perfect location for anniversaries, birthdays, or a relaxing weekend away. For reservations or questions, call 907-385-8660 or find them on Facebook at Manly Hot Springs Resort.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. And the last caller said something very appropriate and pertinent. There's always the caveats when you're taking federal money, or when you're opening up federal property, or the federal has any oversight. And my working with the EPA was very exceptional, but they have their program and the caveats of the program. And when I was getting the $10 million to knock down the Polaris building, it was a legislative appropriation. And it was something the EPA had never done before. Never had an legislative appropriation saying, you're going to spend $10 million doing this. So luckily, I was working with very good people at the city of Fairbanks and the state of Alaska and the EPA, and we're figuring out how to do this and all the caveats that they had to go through before they could get us the money. And then at the very end, in November, we figure out, oh, goodness, okay, since the last person, the owner, he applied for state tax credits, even though it's not on the state historic register, the state historic preservation office had to weigh in and do an agreement with them for reimbursements. And that's where it got interesting. Now ponder this. We get it all worked out and I sign off on it. And you'd think the state of historic preservation office would sign next and EPA would be last because it's their money. But SHPO, the state historic preservation office, they're adamant. They're the last people who sign. We're all looking and it takes an extra 2 weeks to get them into an agreement where the EPA signs and then SHPO agrees to. All those little caveats. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Well, I just wanted to say, like you, I also voted against the opening up the Constitutional Convention for Alaska, mm-hmm. though there are a few things that might be tweaked that one could talk about. But unlike maybe you or some others, my main reason for voting against it was my great fear of putting the PFD into the Constitution.
Okay.
However, that has not stopped the effort. Just because that was defeated, it has not stopped the effort to put the PFD into the Constitution because there's now House Joint Resolution Number 7 and House Joint Resolution Number 8. And I did call into the legislative committee that was taking public testimony on that on Saturday, just this last Saturday, and voiced my opposition to those two bills. But I think it would be a mistake to put the PFD into the Constitution because I feel a dividend, a true and honest dividend, is something that is based on surplus. In the business world, when you talk about a dividend, it's because the company is making a profit and they're able to pay all their bills and they have some surplus money that they can divest to the shareholders. And so that's fine, and I'm all in favor of the PFD and the dividend, but I'm afraid that if it was put into the Constitution, then that it would result basically eventually into getting a state income tax, and then therefore it would be an income transfer situation effectively, even though the dividend comes from the earnings of the permanent fund. You have money being sucked out of people's pockets to pay for government and allowing the dividend to be paid to people, but it would in that case be a public assistance payment, income transfer public assistance payment. And I don't like the idea of a universal basic income, which that would kind of morph into.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting your thought process on the economics of this will probably resort to a tax because all the money given out to the people, there's nothing left in the budget for the state. So they're going to have to tax the people to get that money back because yeah. It's in the Constitution. Yeah, a vicious cycle there. Very true.
Also, I might mention that I finally sent back my 2022 PFD check. I had held on to it a long time because I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I could keep this because it did seem like they had a surplus last year. And the amount of the check was $3,284. And I only just last week, basically, on March 3rd, actually, I mailed it back. And in my letter, I told them that the PFD department that I was grateful for it. And I was tempted to keep it. But that because I heard that there's going to be a deficit this year, I thought I didn't feel fully comfortable in taking it. And also, I said, I don't like how we haven't paid back the CBR, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which bailed us out in the last few years when price of oil had dropped.
Yes.
And we haven't paid it back like we're supposed to. And so until they do that, I don't feel comfortable taking it. So I sent it back.
Yeah, they're not gonna go into the CBR this year at all. I'm talking with the legislators down there. You know, when you do that, you take it's a 75% vote, and then what happens is you gotta go to the other side and say, work out a program with them, and that's when the priorities of the majority, this get thrashed. If you're left or on the right, if you're in the majority, and you got to go open up the CBR, you're opening up the income stream for the other side to get the deal done, and so it just also makes wanton waste of funding.
Yeah, and there's not much left in the CBR. It used to have $12 billion in it. Now it has $1 billion or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, but I got to take another phone call. You have a great day. Appreciate it, Randy. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Hey, I tuned in kind of late, but I agree that putting the FD in the Constitution is a horrible idea. Also, you know, one thing that is in the Constitution is funding of education.
Mm-hmm.
It's very vague, though. And I think there's a good consensus in the legislature that we need a very substantial increase in the BSA, you know, like around $1,000.
Yeah.
Our schools are amongst the worst in the nation, and we just don't fund them properly. But Dunleavy, what's he put in his budget, $30 increase for the BSA?
Something like that.
I mean, he will veto any substantial increase to give us large PFDs. And it's worked year after year, and I think that's really a mistake. I think we should put education and BSA increases in the Constitution more so than the PFD. That's my opinion. I think this governor is running the state into the ground, and he seems happy with that.
Hmm.
I hang up now and take...
You have a good day, Mel. Thank you for the phone call. You know, it's interesting. When I was down in Juneau, I'm a member of the Alaska Municipal League's board of directors. You know, you put your name in a hat, you don't show up the day they're voting, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're voted in. So I was down there for a few extra days for the Alaska Municipal League. And on the agenda for the board of directors was one portion, and it said, the permanent dividend, permanent fund dividend. And the executive director says, you know, I put this on there and I promise only to take 10 minutes to see what our position is. And I said, this isn't going to be 10 minutes. And it wasn't. It was 30 minutes. And you saw the debate right there. And of, you know, the full funded dividend, the half funded dividend, no dividend. And so what I did is I said, you know, maybe what the Alaska Municipal League should do is say that the budget, and they adopted this, is that the budget is to take care of the infrastructure of the state of Alaska. That's what the budget's for. That's what the revenue's for. And don't mention this. That's our statement, and we don't have anything. We don't have any statement on a dividend because that's a very personal idea, a personal item, and just stay away from it. And the budget is to be with the taking care of the infrastructure of the state of Alaska. And Mel's correct. Education is a pretty big part of the infrastructure. And so is road maintenance. And so is police protections. You know, that's your infrastructure there. And now the governor has a budget. He submits it to the legislature. The legislature, they can take, and they usually, you know, they take the budget and they use working parts of it, but they craft their own. It's very apparent from the beginning that they weren't going to be funding a full dividend. What that number will be, I do not know. And it's very apparent that they're going to be increasing the BSA. Now, once they're done with their budget, the governor, he has line item veto. He doesn't get to add things into it, but he can edit things out. So we'll see what happens. It's a good relationship in regards to balance of powers. And, you know, and here's the thing about it. You know, the governor and his, I haven't read it, but he has a parental rights there legislation. And I've not read it. Want to take a look at it. But, you know, good education starts with parents who are involved, a teacher who cares, and a student. You put those three things together. Now, our local school district here, I called from 2008 to 2018, right in there, in 2019, the wayward years, or they weren't looking at education per se. They were looking more of social education. And I can say right now that I think our local school board is doing a much better job trying to put education back into education. And I like that. And I have right across the hall from me here, Melissa Burnett. And she, you know, she tells me about the travails that she goes through and what they're doing and how they're doing and why they're doing. She's very passionate about the education. And so, and she has a good working relationship. It sounds like this board has a good working relationship with each other. And I think they're on the right path. But you never know until you know. In Fairbanks, we're going to take a break for some commercials. Again, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Some amazing things happened in 1904. The underground line of the New York City subway opened, the U.S. Army engineers began work on the Panama Canal, and here in Fairbanks, Sampson Hardware opened their doors for the very first time. Since that day, Sampson Hardware has helped Fairbanks with their building and home projects from start to finish. They are an institution in Fairbanks. They have an extremely knowledgeable and personal staff, and hard-to-find items you can't find anywhere else here in the Golden Heart City. The reason Sampson Hardware has been helping Fairbanks since 1904 is because they helped build Fairbanks. Stop by and let them help you as well. Sampson Hardware.
Wow, your dog is really well behaved.
Thanks. We took classes at the Alaska Canine Center on Badger Road. It was a game changer for us.
I can tell.
Awesome instructors, classes available 7 days a week, and they offer grooming, a self-wash station, and I even get our pet food there. So they carry Dynamite brand cat and dog food as well.
That sounds awesome. As you can tell, I could use some help, and so could Rex here. Down, boy, down.
We got great rates, both personal and group classes available. Remember, it's the Alaska Canine Center off Badger Road. Find out more online at alaskacaninecenter.com.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for nearly 50 years. From the same location near the airport on Dale Road, listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
It's almost time for the 77th running of the Open North American Sled Dog Championships. This is one of the most exciting events in Fairbanks, with three great days of the fastest sprint teams taking to the trails around Fairbanks. Racing starts and ends at the Dog Mushers Hall on March 17th through the 19th. ADMA thanks the sponsors, including Doy Unlimited, Tananaw Chiefs Conference, Animate Pet Foods, the City of Fairbanks, Hampton Inn and Suites, and the Comfort Inn. We'll see you at the races.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 6 above. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 13 below tonight. High temperatures reach up to 4 above tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temps well below average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the standard partly cloudy skies, 13 Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. It's a good Tuesday. You know, Compo bailed on me. He's probably still licking his wounds from his playoff loss to the Eagles, losing to the Eagles, losing two quarterbacks, having to have your quarterback come in and play left-handed. That was entertaining. So he has penance to pay for me. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Hello? Hello, you're breaking up there. Oh, you there? I cannot understand you. Try get it into a better cell location, okay? Yeah, okay. Anyway, that happens in today's world, and it'll continue to happen. But legislature, they seem to be working well together compared to past years, and we'll try the phone call again. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Matt. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, Matt. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Let's see. You brought up all kinds of stuff. You have the university.
Mm-hmm.
Education's been huge in my family my whole life. I've had tons of teachers and professors and stuff all up here. And you can trace it back all the way to the very beginning of the University of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah, they had that. They had a missive in the paper on Helen Atkinson here. And that was good to see about a week ago. And very good to see.
Yeah, just lately here, the last of my family left as teachers here. I had a family member taught in Iliumna and one in St. Mary, but they finally just left.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know that they would be happy with everything that's happened here with education. I know they wouldn't. They say so. They don't like where Alaska went. They don't like where the school systems went at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's been for a long time. But
it was interesting. I was in this senator's office from Juneau. And he's talking about education. And I said, we have 53 school districts with 53 superintendents. Have you ever thought about combining a few to save money and save on administration? And that was the most sacrilegious thing he had ever heard of. Just right there. I was going, okay, well, I know where you're at on this one, is blindly spend money and not worry about results.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while. But, yeah, so my first family member showed up here, one of the first 16 in 1883.
Wow.
Right here in Fairbanks, over 140 years ago. And then he became a federal marshal during the Gold Rush days. But and then it just went on from there. And then my next, it'd be my great grandfather's brother helped start the University of Fairbanks. And he became a college professor. He tried mining for a while. He didn't make any money, so
went to education. You know what the definition of a failed miner is? A teacher. A teacher.
Yeah, that's what he became.
Yeah, I remember growing up, that's, some mining families, that's what they always laughed about. What's the definition of a failed miner? A university professor teaching mining.
But one other thing, but that's the university and the school systems. We need help. It's all in the education. I think you got to get it. It's not so much the money as it is the right. We need to teach them better. We're just not doing a good job at all. I mean, kids don't understand government. They don't understand how it works. They don't understand. We just don't teach them.
You're absolutely correct. I had the past president in Jim Johnson in the studio here, and we're talking about what they have to do. And he literally was saying on the air that when they're a freshman, we have to bring them up to a high school diploma degree in education. He literally said that.
They show up that way.
Yeah.
They don't have the basics.
Yeah, he literally said that.
Yep. And then, take a look at some of this oil stuff. We know just before the outbreak of the Ukraine war, when they were shutting down Keystone Pipeline and ANWR up here,
mm-hmm.
first time, first go around, what we found out later on, very shortly after, is that Russia and China paid all the legal bills to shut all that stuff down. And that was open news. I mean, but there was so much going on, it just, it got kicked away and nobody made a big deal about it, but they paid to shut all those things down. And I suspect that they're still at it again today.
Yeah.
They went through all the left wing, all of them, everyone that you can think of, like Sierra Club, all the ones that were suing and making all the lawsuits at the time. Well, all their law bills were paid by Russia and China. Every cent, millions and millions of dollars to shut our stuff down. And they're still at it. It's still happening.
Yeah, follow the money. Just follow the money.
Yeah, and then it led to all that FTX stuff, which was, ends up being connected to Russia, Ukraine, China. It was all just to get into the elections.
You know, I always go down College Road, and on the north side there, you have the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. And whenever I see anyone running for office with their political sign endorsed by them, I am not in any way, shape, or form going to ever vote for them, ever. Because if you're endorsed by the Northern Alaska Environmental Center, they want everything shut down. I mean, everything. They didn't even want 2,000 acres opened up out near Nenana. Oh, my goodness.
What? It's just all in Russia and China's favor for us to be dependent on them for oil. They also passed here recently, we're supposed to be like in a almost hot war with Russia and China here soon also, because they're allies. And it's a hot war. But we voted at the same time to buy oil from Russia till next December.
Yeah, I know.
It makes
and then sense. We gave our petroleum reserve. We gave our petroleum reserve to China. Oh, it gets fun. Well, Matt, you have a great day, sir. I appreciate your phone call. Okay.
Yeah, you have a good day.
You too. Bye. Yeah, it gets interesting, but we have the Willow Project being opened. That's always good. Hey, there's been no bank runs here in Alaska yet, which is good. I think our local banks are much more stable than most, to tell you the truth. And that's good to see. I think our education system will be getting better. It does need more funding, yes. Does it need much more detailed going back to the basics? Oh, yeah. Is there going to be some pain and suffering involved to get it corrected? Yes. It didn't go into the rails in 1 year, so you can't expect it to be fixed in 1 year. But just have good people keeping at it, going at it, trying to repair it and have it recover. Review of the coursework, content. You don't dumb down an entire class to help one student. There has to be some responsibilities there, and not everyone's going to pass. Not everyone's going to pass, so don't dumb everyone else down to bring them to the lowest level. And it seems like that's what happened. This is my two cents on it anyway. This seems like that's what happened. So anyway, again, you're looking right now, today, be looking at the Willow Project and look at Fairbanks. And then see in 2 years where we're at, what's going on here. And the economic changes, the social changes, those things, the jobs that are made. Take a look at that, because that is a milestone, that event. So congratulations and thank you to Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan. You did great. And Fairbanks, that's our show for today. I will see you tomorrow. You have a great day.